calling all members of the in crowd. If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. You can find us on Facebook, The Fade Route with DNZ. We're on Spreaker. We're on YouTube, The Fade Route with DNZ. Catch our videos. Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and spread the word. Coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studio. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Sure do.
We're talking Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark is still looking for her first win. And the Mets. What's wrong with the Mets? We'll begin today's show with the travesty that is New York Knicks basketball. Despite being up 2-0, and then at one point to be up 3-2, the Knicks were knocked out of the playoffs, losing to the Pacers in Game 7 at MSG on Sunday, 130-109. Now, Z, Jalen Brunson considers this season a failure. Do you?
He's entitled to his opinion. Jalen Brunson is completely entitled to his opinion.
Oh no, Z's gonna let that Met fan out. Go ahead, Met fan it up for him.
Okay, here we go.
Say it was so great because we got so far. We weren't supposed to get here. We did. This next year's gonna look so much better. Go ahead, give it to him.
Brunson fractures his hand, and they were only down by six at that point. So there's that. Do they put up more of a representative fight if Brunson is healthy? Probably. You're not beating the Indiana Pacers when they're shooting 76%. You're not. Nobody is. Like that, you ran into a buzzsaw in Game 7. What do we say about Game 7? All bets are off.
Anything could happen.
All bets are off. Absolutely all bets are off. You finished second in the Eastern Conference. You're missing Randall, you're missing Robinson, you're missing Bogdanovich, you lost Brunson in the third quarter of Game 7. You got to cut yourself a little bit of slack here. Just a touch, a little bit, a smidge. Do you need more help? Yes. Is this team good enough to go back to second next year? A lot of things broke right for them to do that, right? Joel Embiid had to miss most of the season. Giannis and Dame did not finish the job in Milwaukee. The Pacers ran through a depleted Bucks team. The Knicks ran through a depleted Sixers team. One that is an identity crisis in and of itself. So, there's that. There is room for improvement, but you have to recognize and you have to acknowledge the improvement that was there. You jumped from fourth to second. Okay. You go back to the drawing board. You shouldn't be happy with the results. You're happy with the progress. You're happy with the process. There's a difference. Right? You can be very pleased with how you got there, how you showed grit, heart, determination, all of the things that are championship metal. The things that we laud guys like Willis Reed for. You can be disappointed with the results. Knicks fans are disappointed with the results. Right? Right now it's very much thank yous and, you know, you were a tough, gritty team that, you know, that eventually wears off. You do need to recognize, and you do need to pay a little mind to the fact that all of this occurred. You fought through it. You got there. You got to that moment. You were within 6 points of this team. And then you took the final death blow. Right? That's it. Like, that you're not withstanding that. Like, that was the final one. That was the kill shot. Jalen Brunson going down was the kill shot. And even if they somehow managed, because they were within 12 at one point in the fourth quarter with that roster. Right? They were within 12. If by some grace of God that you picked off the Pacers, you're not beating the Celtics with that roster. With all those guys missing, you're not beating the Celtics. You are going to get picked off. That's a fact of life. You can be proud of the process. You can be proud of the progress you made. Disappointment with the result is fine. Use that. That's what you use as motivation. But you have to be able to see some positive in this. And I'm sure deep down, when Jalen Brunson looks back on this, there will be. He will see some positive. It's just a little bit of a bitter taste right now in his mouth. And that's completely understandable. He's a competitor. There's more to it than that. There's absolutely more to it than that. And this team will be back next year. They're building a good core. They're building a good foundation. It's how you build upon this, address your weaknesses, and get better. That's how you went from 4-2. How do you go from 2-1? How do you go from 1 in the East to a champion? You keep addressing your needs and you keep filling those holes until there are no more holes to fill.
Yeah, I'm taking a different scope on this. I think it was a total disaster. You're up 2-0. You're going to Indiana. Close game. Should have won that game. Game 3 should have won. Game 4 should have won. Like, there were chances in this series where it didn't have to go 7 games. Now, like we talked about, Game 7, all bets are off. I don't want to hear about injuries. I don't want to hear about the way they played. I don't want to hear any about that garbage. The Pacers beat them in Game 7. So the Pacers are shooting 76% in the first half. Then they're shooting 67%, over 67% for the game. You weren't beating the Pacers in Game 7.
No. Okay? Nope.
Not shooting like that.
No.
But that's what the Knicks needed to do in Game 3. That's what the Knicks needed to do in Game 4. That's the kind of team that needed to come into Indiana. That's the team that they needed. And I don't want to hear about, oh, well, we got hurt and all these injuries. Well, guess what? You know what? Pistons don't go back-to-back and Magic doesn't pull his hamstring. Okay? We could go about injuries all day. That's what the NBA playoffs are. It's a fucking marathon that lasts forever. You got to stay healthy. You got to win games you're not supposed to win. And this was the year. No Embiid. No Giannis. Jimmy Butler went home already. You were going to be playing Boston in this round. The next round, a team that you could beat. You showed this year that you could beat. And what happens? Tibbs playing part over 40 minutes a game. He gets an abdominal injury. Great. Julius was already hurt.
OG.
Again, OG. Playing him too long. A guy who gets hurt. He has a history of being hurt, which is why Toronto got rid of his ass. You play him to the bone. And you want to go back further? How about this? Instead of drafting Tyrese Halliburton, you drafted Obi Toppin. And then traded him or sent him to the fucking Pacers. So I don't want to hear it. This is what the Knicks do. This is the same old shit. You want to keep propping, oh, next year? They're not going to be better next year. Because all those guys are coming back next year.
No, they're not. That's the thing. All those guys are. The Knicks aren't.
I'm talking about the teams, the other teams.
Yeah.
Like Embiid is going to be back next year. Maxey's going to be better next year. Jimmy Butler's coming back next year. All those guys are coming back. You're expecting Jalen Brunson to play at an MVP level for a second year in a row, scoring 45 to 47 points a game to beat teams? That's not realistic, man. That's just not realistic. And then who are you going to get? You going to get Paul George? Who are you going to go get? Who are you going to go bring here? You going to go get LeBron? Who's coming to New York to help them? Yeah, you're going to have the same fucking thing happen next year. You're going to win two playoff series, maybe just one, and that's it. Ugats. This was the year. They missed it. I don't know where you go from here. I don't know where you go from here. Why? Because Tibbs is going to change his coaching style? Like, what optimism is there? And that's that whole Mets dream you're selling. You're selling that Mets dream. This is real life.
Yeah, the reality, reality of sports is that teams get better. They get better through adversity. You don't go to the straight to the fucking top. That's not how this works. You want to know how they go to the fucking top? They cheat to go to the top by building super teams. That's how they get to the fucking top. Real teams build through adversity. They build through the draft. They get key free agents and they go from there. These Knicks have a good, solid foundation. Is it complete? No, it's not complete. Do you have to prioritize certain guys in free agency? Absolutely you have to. OG's a free agent. Mitchell Robinson's a free agent. You can go down the list. There's like 8 or 9 free agents.
Yeah.
Like, you got to figure it out.
They got to figure out what they're going to do with Hardenstein. They've got to figure out what they're going to do with OG. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Julius Randle. I'm just saying, like, and the other part is, if Boston doesn't win this year, you know they're coming back stronger. Like, there are things you know, right? There are things you and I both know, right? We know Miami's coming back. We know Embiid's coming back. We know Giannis is coming back. You're going to tell me you can really feel like the Knicks are going to come back stronger next year?
I don't know that Joel Embiid right. is going to come back with a whole body, right? How many times is he going to get fucking hurt?
Olympics.
Right. How many Olympics, fucking times are we going to bank on Joel Embiid? The dude gets hurt.
You.
Giannis, he has no back left. The dude has no back left. And he just turned 30?
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
I don't think you could chalk it up to we'll be better next year. There's no guarantee in that. There's hope. You can have hope. There's nothing wrong with hope. Hope's great. But to think that you're going to come back, you're going to run it back next year with Tibbs playing the guys the way he played them, and you're going to bring some other people in that are going to gel with what – this is a Knick culture, right?
Uh-huh.
We both agree this is a culture.
It is.
The players they have, they're already talking about getting Mikal Bridges. I mean, okay, that's fine. But is Mikal Bridges going to be the X factor when other teams are going to go and add a LeBron or Paul George or – I don't know. Other
Jimmy
players?
Butler?
I don't know. So that's all I'm trying to say is like, this was a great year. They missed opportunities to win winnable games in this series. And now next year, we just don't know. You don't know.
You right? don't know about don't the know. Other teams too. What has Boston won? Ugats is what Boston has won. What do we bank on the Denver Nuggets? We did. We're going to get to them in a second. They fucking lost. Right? The NBA, the NBA is not built for dynasties anymore. This is what you're going to do. The Knicks can absolutely, within the recent future, they can possibly pick off a championship. If the Nuggets can win one, look at the teams that are there, right? We're going to have a new champion this year. It's going to be either the Wolves, the Mavericks.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I 100% believe in the possibility. But can you really look inside yourself and think that the opportunity will be better next year than it was this year, taking into consideration what lied ahead and what series they were having with the Pacers? They're up 2-0. They've already beat the 76ers. The Heat's gone. The Bucks are gone. You're going back to Indiana, and you know you're better than Indiana. Indiana knew they were better than them. You're going to tell me something like that's going to present itself next year? I can't get on board with that. I cannot. But anyway,
everything broke right this year. Everything had to break right this year. Everything did. Right. But guess what? The things that you're talking about can easily fucking happen again. Joel Embiid can end up in a goddamn wheelchair. Giannis can end up in traction. These things happen. It's happened 2 years in a row for Giannis. So don't tell me they can't happen, because we've seen it happen.
Asking for it to happen a third year.
Yeah. Lightning struck twice. It can easily strike three times because Larray struck fucking twice.
We'll see. So in the West, defending champions were beat at home in Game 7 by the Timberwolves, allowing the Wolves to advance. You know, that team in Minnesota.
Yes, that team in Minnesota.
The Nuggets were up by double digits in the third quarter. And then I watched it. They went ice cold, which ended their hopes of a repeating. The question I have for you is, will the Nuggets be back? Or has the rest of the West caught up with them?
How do you beat the Denver Nuggets? I think the Minnesota Timberwolves have figured out how to beat the Denver Nuggets. You beat them up down low with size, and you defend. Now, it helps. It certainly helps that Anthony Edwards is one of the best scorers in the league. It certainly helps. Right? It certainly helps that Rudy Gobert is a former defensive player in the year. Right? It certainly helps that Karl Anthony Towns is a good stretch big man, right? So he doesn't have to play down low if he doesn't need to. That Rudy Gobert trade is worth its weight in gold, because now Karl Anthony Towns doesn't have to be the sole big. That presents a problem for Jokic. That presents a problem for Jamal Murray. And if those two guys are not going to be scoring, and you have to rely on Aaron Gordon, if he's going to be your guy, that's going to be a problem. Right? So
yeah,
you want to look at that. I mean, the Nuggets are more of a failure than the Knicks. Let's be real here. The Knicks have not won a championship since 1973. The Knicks have not won a championship since 1973.
That's a good poll question.
Yeah. The Denver Nuggets won last year, and we were saying, could this be a dynasty? Right? We were wondering, we were questioning whether this could be a dynasty. It still can very well, right? The Warriors didn't win every year. They did not, right? The Lakers, they don't win every year. They do not. And they're going to be in a team of transition. But I think that they figured out how to D up. Chris Finch is a hell of a coach, right? And I think that Chris Finch figured out the blueprint. They executed that blueprint, and they neutralized what the Nuggets do well. It's a different animal now, because now they're going to be facing Luka and Kyrie. So you go back to the drawing board. You cannot use the same strategy against a ball-dominant guard and one of the best passers in the league. One of the best passers in league history, actually. So, you know, they definitely need to figure out some things. Do I count out the Nuggets? No. The same reason I don't count out the Knicks. They have a good thing going there. They need to add to it. And ultimately, I can see them back. Now, what constitutes back? Another championship? Sure. Why not? Absolutely. Jokic and Murray are talented enough that they can get back to the mountaintop. They absolutely can. The proof is in the pudding. They've already done it. So there needs to be a few breaks. They need to figure out how to neutralize Gobert, neutralize Karl Anthony Towns down low. They need to figure out who my third scorer is. Is it going to be Aaron Gordon, or is it going to be somebody else? Can we get somebody better? Possibly. Like, that would be nice. But you know, their window's not closed as long as they have Jokic and he's motivated. Their window's as open as they want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, so I have a different take on this. I think Minnesota came in and really just surprised them. Like, I think they went into Denver and they beat them the first two games, and Denver's like, whoa, like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. Like, you know, and Anthony Edwards was D'ing up Murray really hard. And then what happens? Nuggets take two games in Minnesota. Then they win a third game. And none of these games were close. If anybody was watching the series, they were all blowouts.
If I recall correctly, one of those games that they won was when Gobert was out because of the birth of his child. Correct me if I'm wrong on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that was game three. Pretty sure it was game three.
Yeah.
And it was still, yeah. So the only difference I'm going to say, Z, which is different from what happened with the Knicks, is that the Nuggets were winning this game. It was game seven, defending champions. They're on their home floor. They're up 58-38 at the 10:50 mark in the third quarter. I watched the game. I watched it. And then they just went cold. Nobody could hit a shot. They're calling timeouts. People are Jokic was 2-for-10 from three. And every time they went to somebody to stop the bleeding, they couldn't score. They couldn't score. And then all of a sudden, Minnesota ties it, then goes ahead, and they never looked back. And the whole fourth quarter belonged to the Minnesota Timberwolves being up by like six. And then I think it was Karl Anthony Towns got into foul trouble. They had to take him out, put Gobert in, and Jokic was having his way with Gobert, but nobody else was scoring. Your boy Aaron Gordon wasn't picking up the slack.
Nope.
Nobody wanted to shoot. Caldwell Pope, nobody wanted to shoot because they were worried they were going to miss. It was embarrassing. It was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, somebody turned on the switch and nobody could hit a basket. And I do believe you are right in the sense that there is a recipe for beating the Nuggets now, for sure. But this loss, contradictory to what happened with the Knick game, the Nuggets lost this game because they couldn't score a basket. And then Jokic is, you know, he's doing every move in the book. He's got his fadeaway one footer. He's you know, spinning left, spinning right, layup, foul shots, but just couldn't hit the three-pointers. And then Murray's getting his pocket picked by Ant-Man every other second. And Ant-Man's picking him up at three-quarters of court. And Murray's exhausted. He's exhausted. And he's literally turning his back to the basket as soon as he gets over the half-court line because he doesn't have any other moves to give this guy. And the other thing, Z, is Ant-Man was terrible. He was 6-for-23 or 6-for-24 from the field. He really didn't have a good shooting game. So the opportunity was there for the Nuggets to win Game 7. They lost it. And in regards to them being back, it's a motivation thing, 100%. I do think they'll be back because they have the reigning MVP. They have an unguardable... He's really unguardable. I mean, you had Gobert, you know, running out to him, and you had Karl Anthony Towns bodying him, and they're giving him the business, and it wore him down, but they were winning that game, and it's unfortunate that they lost, but I'm happy for the Timberwolves. They certainly earned it, because the thing I can say about the Timberwolves is they never let up. They were down, but they never stopped. There were two back-to-back possessions where Ant-Man shot an air ball. And he just kept shooting. He just kept going to the basket. They were down, but they were never out.
Well, you have to give that. If you're going to credit the Timberwolves for being down but never out, you also have to credit the Pacers to link it all together. Like, they could
have. Oh, the Pacers.
They could have packed it in. They could have packed it in. They didn't. The same thing with the Timberwolves.
For sure.
You know.
And I really do think with the Pacers, it was coaching. I really do think, like, Rick Carlisle got his shit together. He's like, dude, we're not playing like this anymore. After those first two games.
Yeah.
And then he sent his. And we talked about it. He sent the video to the league. Mm-hmm. Like, where's the foul calls? What's happening here?
He worked the refs.
But we also talked about it. We said if the Knicks are going to rely on bullshit and refs controversy, it's not going to get you far. Because at some point, that shit caves. And I do feel like Rick Carlisle was like, no. We're not doing this.
Say what you will. Chris Finch outcoached Michael Malone. Like,
yeah,
he outcoached Michael Malone.
Well, I just, like I said, I can't tell what the game plan was, but I can say that they were not making their shots. Like, Jokic was getting open threes. Murray was not being aggressive. Caldwell Pope was not shooting the basketball. Aaron Gordon, I guess because Towns and Gobert are just as big as he was.
Yeah.
He was like not the same player that he was last round. So I don't know how much of it was coaching and how much of it was really on the players.
Well, coaching, like any sport, any coach has to adjust. How do you adjust? Every adjustment Michael Malone tried failed. You're down 20, you're up 20, and then every single button you pushed didn't work.
Yeah.
That's a failure of coaching. That's also a failure of performance. It's
both. Saying Michael Malone was down 20 or
up 20? He was, when he was with the Nuggets. Yeah. He was up 20.
Yeah, he was up 20.
And he sees the momentum shift, right?
Yeah.
And he can't stop it. Like, that's the job of the coach is to stop this.
I mean, he called timeout. They tried to run plays for individual guys. It just wasn't going down. And then the Timberwolves start raining threes, and then they start, and then Towns comes back, even though he's got four fouls. He starts going to the basket, and then Gobert hitting these fadeaways and shots. Like, Rudy Gobert, where did this come from?
It's that dad strength.
I guess.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs for men and women. That's fckclout.com.
Moving over to hockey. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's tonight or tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night.
But we got to talk about the Rangers' amazing victory in Carolina last week.
Yes, we do.
You and I were texting live time, down 3-1, heading into the third period, and Kreiderman scored a natural hat trick to punch the Rangers' ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. Z, where does this rank in Rangers' playoff history? And will this momentum help them get by a really, really good Florida team?
Point for me. The player to watch, Chris Kreider. You heard it here first. Now, where does this rank in terms of Ranger playoff history? I wasn't around for the 70s, so I can't speak for any of that. I wasn't around for, 1940, clearly. So, let's talk about recent Stanley Cup history. And by recent, I mean 1994. That's number one, right? That's got to be number one in my lifetime. Number two, you're looking at Matteau against the Devils. Like, that's up there. You're looking at probably Richter's save against Pavel Bure and the penalty shot in Game 7. Like, Game 7 Stanley Cup penalty shot. Mike Richter has fucking balls the size of my head. But there you go. Like, Mike Richter, legend. Legend. This has got to be right up there with those other three moments. A natural hattie against a team that was impenetrable for two periods. Impenetrable. They could not get the puck to the net. And all of a sudden, the Rangers start buzzing. And when the Rangers start buzzing, they're hard to stop. And one of those goals, like, if Frederik Andersen was square to the post and his pad was all the way up on the post, that's not in, right? So it's a game of inches. But the Rangers cannot expect to turn it on the way they did, right? And expect to beat Officer Bob and Barkov and Ekblad and Tkachuk. Florida is not going to play, right? Florida is just as good as Carolina. You're not lucking into anything, right? This is not the equivalent of Knicks Pacers. This is a formidable team, right? This is a team that is going to fight you for every inch and they have just as much firepower as you do, and they have just as good of a goalie as you do. It's going seven. Like, strap it in, Rangers. Strap it in, fans. It's going seven. I'm telling you that right now. Now, as a Ranger fan, yeah, I believe that the Rangers are going to be on the right side of history here. I believe they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. You gotta, as a fan. If you're a fan, you have to think that your team is going to win. Otherwise, what's the fucking point? Right? What's the point? Fan stance or fanatic? There's a little bit of delusion in fanaticism. So, I believe. Ranger fans, some of them hopped off on X. I was watching. At FadeRouteDNZ, I was watching people jumping off the bandwagon. Come on. How, oh ye of little faith. Come on. But this is, you know, you hope that there's momentum, but new series, you started 0-0, and strap in. That's all I'm going to say. Strap in. Be prepared. It's going seven.
Well, like I said, we were watching this in live time, and, you know, I was saying, like, Crider Man's got to show up. Someone's got to show up. Who's it going to be? When's it going to happen? And then it just started popping off, and they didn't look back. I have to say, it was one of the most memorable experiences in my lifetime as a Ranger fan, because it didn't look good, man. It just didn't look good. It was 3-1 heading into the period, and they were being outworked. They were sloppy. Passes weren't crisp. And you're just like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening. I can't believe we're going to game seven. And then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, it's 3-2. Okay, it's 3-3, it's tied. And there's like 5 minutes left. And then, oh my God, he scored again. It's like, oh. And then the momentum shifted, even though they were in Carolina. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's dead quiet in that building. All of a sudden, they're the ones that are sloppy. They're almost letting really easy shots go into the goal. They're clearing a nobody. And you're like, oh my God, you could just feel the momentum turn. And yeah, I do think this can carry to the next series. I wish the game was tonight. It's tomorrow, which gives them time to heal up. And I mean, I hope it doesn't go seven. I hope it only goes six games. You know, the Panthers are ready for this. Mm-hmm. Both teams know each other extremely well, and you just can't let your foot off the gas. The best thing about that last series was, you know, the Rangers led the league in come from behind victories all season. So even when they're out, they're still in. So that's the best part about this team. And they're well coached. You can't be sloppy against the Panthers, no. Man. You just can't be sloppy against the Panthers. Because before you know it, like they're a mirror image of you. They're on you. And they're peppering the goalie, and they don't let up. They finish their checks. And they're on you all game.
I'm calling these two guys out right now. You better show up for this series or you will never hear it. You will never hear it. Live it down. You will never, ever. And that's Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin.
Yeah.
You have to show
Panarin,
up.
Panarin, man. Like, to me, I really feel like he was a difference. I know last series I was saying he needed to come around for them to win. Mm-hmm. I do feel like he played a little better, but he's not getting the shots on goal. It was clear what the Hurricanes were doing. You know, they were trying to take away Zibanejad, and they did a great job of that the last three games. But you can't let that slow you down. You've got to win with your team. You got to win with your best players. And thankfully, Crider Man picked us all up.
Yeah.
And we're on to the next.
Absolutely,
round,
which is fantastic. The Rangers need to somehow get inside. Where Carolina excelled was that they forced everything outside, everything wide, and what are you shooting at? You're shooting at the side of the net, or you're shooting at a defender, right?
Yeah. But they're well coached, man.
Oh God, they're
well coached team.
Everybody's well. From here on in, you're not going to have a slouch. There are no slouches. Nope. And then if you happen to make it through, you're either going to get the Dallas Stars or Connor McDavid. So, you know, there are no more cupcakes here. There are no Cinderellas. Like, this is the best of the best. And these are the guys... Actually, you would argue at the beginning of the year that the Rangers would be a Cinderella. But not anymore. Now with the President's Trophy, no sir. So everybody who's here deserves to be here. And now it's time to take it to the next level.
They want it. And they're all hungry.
Oh, yeah.
They're all hungry.
Yeah.
All four teams left are hungry.
Completely.
And probably the Panthers and the Rangers just might be the hungriest.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
Time for some baseball, baby.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the Mets, man? They're currently in fourth place in the East. 500. Tomas Nico hit a home run yesterday to give them their only run in a loss to the Guardians. Nimmo misplayed a ball. Marte got ejected. And then Lindor is currently batting 193. Defend your boy. Defend your team. What the fuck's going on?
That'd be the first place Cleveland Guardians, mind you. It's not surprising that they're losing to the Cleveland Guardians. 32-17. Put some respect on their name.
Their payroll?
Much less. They're doing more with less. More with less. So, what's happening? Let's look at it. Senga is hurt. Okay. That's an issue.
I heard he had a setback.
Yeah. That's two. He's just not ready to pitch. So they've built a rotation of threes and fours and asked them to be ones and twos. Severino's pitched very well. Sean Manaea has pitched very well. The bullpen's fucking atrocious. Now, especially that Brooks Raley is hurt. Edwin Diaz has a confidence problem, blowing games left and right. So, there's that. Offensively, this team cannot buy a hit to save their goddamn lives. Yeah, I get...
They can't hit.
They cannot hit. 190 for Francisco Lindor. Pete is lost. McNeil is lost. Brett Beatty is lost. Nimmo's solid, but he shouldn't be your three hitter. Why is Nimmo your three hitter? Was it pick the names out of the hat? Is that what we're doing here?
Couldn't hit the water if they fell out of a boat.
JD Martinez is hurt now, or he's slumping. Like, what the fuck? You know, I get Alvarez is hurt, so Nito has to play. Nito is not a bat. So when a guy who's not a bat provides the only run you got, that's a problem, right? And you have professional players. Starling Marte was a professional player before he got here, right? The A's, the Pirates. He had great seasons. He had very good to great seasons.
He was a great player before he got here.
And now that he's here, you can argue he's a platoon player. He's having a better year than he did last year, mostly because he's healthy. So, yeah, the trend line is good for him. But you can tell it's frustration. If he's getting popped and he's getting run, that's a problem. Lindor, it's inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable because who does he hit?
Come on, let it go.
Who does he hit? Who does Lindor hit in front of? Pete. Usually. Now he's hitting in front of, you know, he's hitting in front of the two hitter. He's usually hitting in front of Alonso. You're telling me that they're not afraid of Alonso, so you're going to get better pitches to hit? You're going to get fastballs to hit? And I don't want to hear about fucking war. Don't tell me about Francisco Lindor's war. It's a bullshit statistic. It is a bullshit statistic. So, you, as a Met fan, you hope that this is his annual early season slump. And when it turns to June, which will be next week, that he goes equatorially hot and his numbers look normal again. Right? You can't expect that all the time. You can't flip a switch like they do. He has a six something on base percentage. He has a six something OPS. Like that's terrible. That's terrible.
Not for what he's getting paid.
That's terrible. Yes, he contributes with the glove. I understand that. Yes.
Are you ready to call his signing a failure yet?
It's getting close.
All right, finally. It's getting close. Come on my team, man.
But here's the thing. Who's the best shortstop in Major League Baseball this year? Mookie Betts, a second baseman, is playing shortstop.
Seager's not playing very well.
No, Seager's not playing well. Lindor's not playing. Mookie Betts is the best shortstop in baseball. And you know when he started playing shortstop this year?
Bichette's not playing.
But Bichette is trash. There are rumors that both he and Vladdy are on the trade block.
Bogarts is hurt.
Bogarts, is he even playing shortstop for them? They have like four fucking shortstops. They have an infield full of shortstops.
Volpe's not that great.
Volpe.
Bobby.
Okay, Bobby Witt Jr. Okay, I'll give you Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt Jr. is probably the best. And he's having a good year.
Right. So in the American League, it's Bobby Witt Jr. In Major League Baseball. He's
playing really well. Okay.
So I'll cede that one to you. I'll give you that one. But
thank you. Yeah. So
I'm feeling generous. I'm feeling generous right now.
It's not true. It's not true. All the bad things they say about.
No,
you.
It's only mostly true. It's only mostly true. But you know, Pete, but you cannot afford to have at bats the way Pete has at bats. You can't afford to have at bats the way Lindor has at bats, where it's first pitch swinging. I'm just hunting. Jeff McNeil has been an absolute. You know. Gary Cohen once said that Daniel Murphy was a net negative. No, Jeff McNeil this year is a net negative. He is a net negative. And it's funny that they actually showed Daniel Murphy
but
talking
to trade him.
For what? What are you going to get for him? What are you going to get for him?
Ugas
is one of exactly. They got rid of Joey Wendell, right? He's not that much better than Joey Wendell this year. And Joey Wendell was terrible. They have no third baseman. Brett Beatty was good for a month, right?
Is he still up? Or did
he's up.
Back
he's
down?
taking ground balls as a utility infielder because they don't have a backup infielder. They got rid of Joey Wendell and they don't have a backup infielder. They brought up Mark Vientos, whose best position is hitter. Like this, you can't tell me that the Francisco Alvarez injury was so significant. Like, he's a good player, right? He's a second-year player. You cannot tell me that he's the linchpin because you're not paying him. You're paying the other guy. The other guy is going to be the linchpin. He's supposed to be the guy, not Francisco Alvarez. Like, Francisco Alvarez is very good. Okay, good. Fine. And I can see where that would affect the pitching as well. But no, you need more from your veterans. These are the guys. This is supposedly the core of your team. And you know what? The season's not over yet, and here's why the season's not over yet. Because they're only two games out of the fucking wild card. So here's the thing. Get ready. Because this is going to go all fucking summer. They're going to hover around 500. They're going to be 1.5 to 2 games out of the fucking wild card spot. And they're going to give the Met fans hope. And then they're going to...
There's that word again.
And then they're going to add.
Word again.
And then they're going to add at the trade deadline. And then what's going to happen? That train is never late. The one time it didn't happen was 2006. They waited till the NLCS to do it. So it's a bad season when you can't beat the fucking Marlins. The Marlins were actively trying to lose and move their team to Miami. Oh wait, they already are in Miami.
And you want to get rid of that team? Shame on you.
They're awful.
Shame on
They're
you.
Awful. But the Mets are equally as awful against them. It's terrible.
Well, rumor has it that up until Martinez's injury, he was on the block, which is really strange. and heard they're fielding calls for Alonso, which they should.
I mean, if they're going, it's a fluid situation, right? Because it's
Toronto sellers too, man. They're fucking selling.
They're also like, where are they in terms of wild card standings? Like because of how shitty the National League is, for lack of a better term, the Mets are going to be in this thing. And if they get Kodai Senga back, they'll be better prepared. Like Kodai Senga is a 2 at the very best, at the very least, 1 at the very best. So, you know, could he be the shot in the arm? Sure, but it doesn't help with the bats. Like, they fired Chili Davis, they brought back Eric Chavez. Like, at some point, you have to look at the hitters at the core of this team, right? That whole Diesel Donnie thing from a few years ago, you remember that when they fired Chili and it was like, oh, our coach is Diesel Donnie Stevenson? I think it was Alonso in a wig. Like, some weird shit. And, like, this group just can't hit together. They just can't hit together. This is the same team that won 101 games not that long ago. You can't tell me it's all smoke and mirrors. 101? That's a lot. That's a lot. So, it's just frustrating as all hell. And this isn't even a team where you had high expectations. It was hang around 500 and maybe you can catch a wild card. And I'm not saying division. I wasn't saying World Series. I was saying hang around, get the wild card. And apparently, that's too difficult for them. Tread water. The Oakland A's are better than you. The Oakland A's are better than you. Come on. That doesn't piss you off. It pisses me off. Have some pride, for Christ's sake. Have some pride. This team is homeless. They don't know if they're going to be in Sacramento or Las Vegas.
Back up the truck.
Back it up.
Back it up.
Back it up. Are you kidding me?
You make my butt stink. I detest you. You're all garbage. All of you.
I'm the only winner on the team. The rest of them are losers, either by choice or by birth. There it is again. Like, if they continue down this trend, see what you can get. See what you can get. You know, bring up the Binghamton Mets, bring up the Syracuse Mets, bring up whoever the hell you want. Because if you're continuing, you're going to play and you're going to hit as abysmally as you are now, we're done. We're done here. And you're going to play to like 26 people. That's what your announced attendance today is going to be, 26. Keep it up, boys. Keep it up. Keep it up.
Well, NYFC had 20,000 people over the weekend.
And they're in third place. Let's talk about it. Well, you invoked NYCFC. Third place in the Eastern Conference in the MLS. Thank you very much. Moving on.
Big win against the New Jersey Red Bulls.
Yeah, the Derby, man. Huge. Huge.
Very big. Very, very good game.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch apple to campfire s'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
So let's talk about Caitlin Clark. She and the Fever lost again yesterday, dropping their record to 0-4. They were blowed out by Connecticut in opener, but only lost by 4 this time at home. In this game, Clark had 17 points, but she seems to be struggling and still searching for her first win. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
She also apparently has an ankle injury, which It's kind of a big deal. I gotta say, for her personally, it's a little deal. She still scored, right? She's still able to do those things. Like, it's up and down. There are growing pains in the system. Eventually, if she is as good as advertised, right? If she is who we think she is, Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. If she is who we thought she mm-hmm. was, the cream will rise to the top. The problem is that she went to the team that was the worst fucking team in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. One player does not make that much of an improvement. Now, I get Aaliyah Boston is there. It's not gelling yet.
I thought basketball was the one sport where one player could really make a difference.
No, you need a team concept. It's a team sport, mm-hmm. right? That's how it works. Like, one player can only take you so far. There's a poster. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. As trite as that sounds, it's a good middle school poster. It's a really good middle school poster.
I'm gonna write that one down. I like that.
So, the coach admitted that Caitlin Clark has some flaws in her game. She has some bad habits that she needs to work out. Good, take it in stride. You know, that's good coaching. And Caitlin Clark is receptive. So that's good on the player. So yeah, it's growing pains. This is to be expected. Personally, it's a little deal. No deal for the Fever. They were the worst team without her. They're probably going to be the worst team with her. So, you know, they're just not good enough. Even with her and Aaliyah Boston, it's not there yet. It's not there yet. Give her a year without this LeBron-esque pressure, right? Let her get her sea legs. Let her get her feet under her, and then let's see what she has to offer. Four games is way too small of a sample size to go hair on fire, big deal. It's not the NFL.
Right.
So definitely no deal for the team, little deal for Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I'm going to say I think it's a little deal. I don't think it's a big deal. Certainly not no deal. I think it's a little deal. I mean, when you're like, you know, when you're coming up and you're the number one pick and you're this phenom, you're supposed to make a difference. And the only difference she's really making right now is there's a lot more people going to see the games. There's a lot of people talking about it, like you and I. I've gotten to watch two of the games, and, you know, I feel like she's still doing the things she did in college.
Mm-hmm.
And the things she did in college doesn't translate up here. You can't just run around and shoot. You have to also pay attention where you're going, because there are people setting picks for you. And if you don't pay attention, you could get knocked out of a game. Breonna Stewart almost knocked her out of the game when they played the Liberty. I guess that'll come with time. She's shooting very wildly. I don't know what her shooting percentage is, but some of the shots she takes, you're like, whoa. She's averaging 17 points, which I think is good. That's good.
It's fine.
It's not great.
It's not great. It's good.
She's averaging 5 assists, which, you know, for a guard, I think that's fair. I am still kind of stuck on this thing where I think, you know, it's a long season for her. I mean, she's coming up from just playing her college season, and now she's in the WNBA. I'm kind of leaning towards the area where we'll know more about her next year, where she's actually had an offseason to rest. She'll be better acclimated to the WNBA. I have her numbers here. She's shooting 41% from the field, 34% from three. For me, I mean, I think she's not having the impact I thought she would have. And maybe that's just because I had higher hopes for her. But that doesn't mean that she's not going to be anything. I'm sure she's going to be still a good player. But I'm still sticking to my guns where I think there were far better players before her. And, you know, she just got a lot of national attention.
Agreed. And I find this very interesting. The Iowa coach, upon losing Caitlin Clark to the Indiana Fever, announced her retirement. I do find that very interesting. It's like, fuck you, I'm out. I'm out. I find that.
What do you think? What do you make of that?
I find it very interesting. I don't know what I make of it. It's two possible things. Either that all of her success was because of Caitlin Clark and she's fucked.
Yeah.
So that's one. Or she's just sick of this NIL crap and she's done. Like Krzyzewski, like Jay Wright, like other coaches that, you know, have also resigned in recent years. I do find it interesting that, you know, she didn't even wait a season after Caitlin Clark to say vaya con Dios. I think that's very interesting. But and Caitlin Clark also signed a huge deal with Wilson for an endorsement deal.
Oh,
so
nice job.
Yeah, so you know, the awesome. Money keeps coming in for her, like the Gatorade sponsorship, the Wilson sponsorship. She's rolling. She's absolutely rolling.
That's good.
She's becoming the cash cow.
We root for her. Root for her.
Yeah.
I don't wish any ill on her. I want her to do well. I think
completely.
I think she's a very good basketball player, but
completely. You know, now the thing you have to wonder too much too soon.
I was expecting a Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James type of arrival to the league. You know, that's what I was expecting, and that's I'm not getting a feel. It doesn't feel that way. But we'll see what happens.
No, we'll definitely see what happens. And right now, she's still getting introduced to the WNBA in terms of the physicality. She's also getting, you know, she's getting the best shot from veterans.
Oh, man.
The best shot of the veterans who think she hasn't earned jack shit in the league. And she hasn't earned jack shit in that league. She dominated the NCAA. The NCAA is not the WNBA. It's the argument we had about Reggie Bush, right? You got to pay your dues. Like, he was a man among boys in college. You're a low man on the totem pole once you go to the next level. You have to prove yourself again. And if Caitlin Clark is who we think she is, she will have no problem finding her level and showing and proving that she is who we think she is.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Time for the mail route on the fade route. If you want to get featured, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs at faderoutepodcast on IG, or drop us a line on our Twitter page at faderoutednz. All right, boys and girls, our mailbox is full. And if you, yes, you, want to send us an email, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Or if you want to drop us a line on X, faderoutednz, or DM us, drop us a DM at faderoutepodcast, and you can be on the mail route. Our first email comes from Caesar in Hell's Kitchen. Friend of the show.
Caesar.
Hey guys, NYCFC is getting a new stadium in Queens, right next to City Field. Is there any chance the Jets will try to build a football stadium in New York?
Yeah, right. I mean, they spent $500 million on that travesty that's a stadium in Jersey. It looks like the outside of an air conditioner. I'm sure they want to. They kind of missed their chance. I really thought Yonkers Raceway was the best option for them if they want to be in the city. Yeah, I would say very low chance, but I mean, I know they're talking about it, about, you know, doing it in that area, but I mean, you're talking about some serious cash that they'd have to commit, and I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, their best shot was probably Javits Center, like, because they were willing, yeah, they were willing to build that West Side Stadium. There was a lot of smoke there. There was a lot of smoke with the, yep, West Side Stadium. Yonkers was too far away. I agree. Long Island, a lot of Jet fans on Long Island. Where the hell are you gonna build it? So, right, it's a logistical issue. Now, kudos to NYCFC for getting the stadium. You know, they're the itinerant team of New York. They're the itinerant team of the MLS, because you have games at Red Bull Arena in Harrison, New Jersey. You have Yankee Stadium and you have Citi Field. That's ridiculous. So they finally have a place to call their own. It's going to be amazing. 2026 cannot come fast enough. The Valley of Ashes, the Valley of Tears. This is where teams' hopes and dreams are going to come to die. That's what we hope. That's what we hope. And after last year, we hope that it's not our hopes and dreams as NYCFC supporters. The Jets had their chance. It's over. It's done with. You wanted to be the New York Jets. You couldn't be the New York Jets. Now you're going to have to be the New Jersey Jets playing as the New York Jets. Sorry. Moving on. Because that budget, there's no way, no way they're going to approve another stadium after this. The next email comes from Jamal in Irving, Texas. Why are things working for Kyrie Irving in Dallas, but they didn't work in Boston, Brooklyn, or Cleveland?
You know, we were really skeptical about this working out. I guess Mark Cuban just knows what he's doing. You know, I heard that when he was going through his fasting, Cuban had a special chef come in, a vegetarian chef, to make him food and to make sure that he was well-balanced, well-nutritioned, and was, you know, being able to be at his peak performance during that time. I think it's also, it's more about Kyrie here. I know Luka's there and it's Luka's team, but I feel like he's kind of become a star. I see him talking to players and motivating players, and I don't remember seeing him do that in his other two stops because he really wasn't the guy. Even in Cleveland, when he first got there, he was. But then LeBron came, and then he wanted to leave. In Boston, he wasn't. And for the Brooklyn Nets, it was just a mess. So I'm gonna say, you know, he's kind of fallen into his own because he's able to do what he wants to do. He's able to be the guy. He's able to perform the way he wants to perform. So that's why I think it's working.
Well, how much of this is also that he's a good foil in Luka, right? I think it's important that we examine who he's playing with. Like, he is getting the ball to Luka, and Luka is doing Luka things. In the past, he's had to deal with other egos as big as him. We'll be nice and say other egos as big as him. Right? You have James Harden, for one. Kevin Durant. LeBron.
LeBron.
What makes you think that Kyrie is going to have the cachet that those guys have? Especially at the time in which he was playing with them. Especially, like, LeBron came back. Kyrie was only a couple of years in the league. Like, LeBron, you know, the nice teammate there. Like, you know, he's the fucking Bron. Right? You hadn't done shit in the league at that point. So, it's about timing. It's about the person he's playing with. And I'm sure there's an elevated level of maturity as well. You would hope. You would hope. Because if he wasn't as mature about this, would he have pouted and try and get out of Dallas? Right? Because Luka was the star of that team. Luka is the star of that team. You can argue that Kyrie is your co-star. Right?
I mean, the best backcourt in the NBA.
Yeah. We always end up... We always start talking about how long is Kyrie going to play nice? That lingering doubt in the back of our mind. How long is it going to take for Kyrie to stop playing nice? And I think that... I think he's starting to figure it out in terms of that maturity level. I think he's starting to figure out the fact that he needs other people. He can't be the one-man show. Right? He can't do it on his own. He needs the support of other people. Like it's a team sport. Again, you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, you go together. And we had our doubts about this last year, especially with the results. It didn't look like it was working at all. They showed us. They proved us wrong. So, kudos to the Mavericks. They're in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, they knocked off the Thunder. Everybody had the, you know, everybody had anointed the Thunder.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Let's talk about that. Very young, very good. Room for improvement. Like, that's what you need to take away from it.
They shouldn't have lost that series.
They shouldn't have. They're just as good as the Mavericks. However, what's the difference between the Mavericks and Thunder? Veteran presence. Been there, done that. When it gets tight, when the moment gets big, Luka and Kyrie did not shrink from the moment. And that only comes with experience. That comes with time. It comes with seasoning. And they'll learn from this. The Thunder, they're too talented not to come back. It's what have you learned? How can you apply what you've learned? But yeah, it just, you know, the moment seemed to get too big for them at times. And what can you expect from a team that young? Email number 3 comes from George in North Philly. Alec Bohm is leading Major League Baseball in RBIs. Are you surprised?
I am, but I'm certainly happy he's on my fantasy team.
Oh, that's why it got through.
And I tried to trade him 2 weeks ago, and person laughed at me and turned me down. Ha! Who's laughing now? Where's Joe? Ha! No, I mean, they pack a punch, man. And for him to feel, and you know, what was it, like a year or two ago, they caught him saying, I hate this fucking place.
I hate this fucking place.
And he's still there, and he's a damn good ball player. So, I mean, I am surprised, but I think he's gonna make the All-Star team if he keeps it going like this. He's an All-Star. He's an All-Star, Dave.
Forget about Dorn because he's only high price. Yeah, no, it is extremely surprising. But if you look at it, he is tied with Jose Ramirez with 44. But check this out and get ready for this. Marcell Ozuna is third in the league. Then William Contreras, Salvador Perez, Teoscar Hernandez, and then Juan Soto.
That's amazing.
What the hell is going on? What is going on?
I can't believe Marcell Ozuna, another guy on my fantasy team, also has 14 home runs, which is amazing.
In the year of our Lord, 2024, Bryce Harper's not up there. Shohei Ohtani's not up there. Freddie Freeman's not up there. Aaron Judge is not up there. Pete Alonso is not up there. Let's see. Keep going. Giancarlo Stanton is not up there.
However, May 17th is Shohei Ohtani Day.
Yes.
In Los Angeles.
Yes. Let's
For a guy that's done nothing but bet on baseball and get away with
it. Oh my god. Oh my god. Ridiculous. And now David Fletcher is looped in on this. Like, come on. I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire, man. You got Mitsuhara there betting with the illegal bookmaker. You have Fletcher, who is supposedly one of Ohtani's best friends in the league, going to the same bookmaker. Who hooked one up with the other? Did Fletcher hook Mitsuhara up, or did Mitsuhara hook up Fletcher?
You say it so well.
Mitsuhara.
Have you been taking bets from him too?
No comment. But, you know, it's a big deal for Major League Baseball. Like, and you know what? This is a weird year. It's an absolutely weird year. The Mets can't beat the Marlins. Alec Boehm is leading the freaking leading Major League Baseball 44 ribbies. Like this.
Jeff McNeil had a home run tonight.
Good for Jeff. I think I wet my pants.
Number two on the season.
I think I'll wet my pants. Oh,
crushing it.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. I'm surprised he got the ball out of the infield. So, teams that were supposed to be good are not that great. Teams that were supposed to be bad, like the Guardians, they're actually pretty friggin' good. Turning shitskin.
The White Sox, a team that's supposed to be bad, is very
bad. They are very bad. They are extremely bad. So, do I expect Alec Boehm to be there at the end of the year? No, I don't. I'll be perfectly frank with you. I don't see Alec Boehm being there at the end of the year. Right? His high watermark is 97. Last year, 97 ribbies. No. Like, he'll get past. The rearview mirror, don't look into it, because objects are getting closer and they're larger. They're smaller than they appear. They're coming. They're going to be there. And they're going to pass you by. But it's a nice little story. Good for Alec Boehm. Especially after the hot mic moment. I'm sure he doesn't hate this fucking place anymore. I'm pretty sure he doesn't hate this fucking place anymore.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants? We got those too. Like some cool accessories? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The National Hockey League. We both got that one. Both got that one. It's a bad look. It's a bad look all the way around. Sam Bennett, still playing. Nichushkin, still suspended. Good job, Gary, I suppose. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right. First up, I've got Sean P. Diddy Combs. Video emerged of you assaulting singer Cassie in a hotel. Did he hit her in the head, threw a vase at her, and kicked her while she was down in a hotel hallway? Dude, you are donezo.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely donezo. Don't want to hear about your apology. They should take away your key to the city. Man, just awful. Sean Diddy Combs, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number two, Nikola Jokic, what are you doing here? You allowed the Minnesota Timberwolves to come into your house and beat you in Game 7, even though you were the defending champions. Up 20 points in the third quarter, let that whole lead go, went 2 for 10 from the three-point line. That, sir, is not what an MVP does. That's not what a superstar player does. But that's what an alleged superstar does. So, Nikola Jokic, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, your boy, Francisco Lindor. Currently slashing 194, 268, 346 with 7 home runs, 22 RBI. Man, he's killing it. Ridiculous. How ridiculous does this contract look now? Francisco Lindor, Frenchie, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Yeah. What more can you say?
Hey, trash.
193. Like, come on now. Like, you're play to the back of your baseball card, please. For the love of Jesus Christ. How about you do it? just do it. I'm starting with Scottie Scheffler. Oh, my God. Valhalla Golf Course, Louisville, Kentucky.
Darlington, help me. Help me, Darlington, help
oh
me.
Oh, my God. 6 a.m. Mr. Scheffler, impatient because there's an accident, decides to get out of line and drive over to the golf course gate and gets stopped by security, by a police officer. It's like, sir, you can't go in here. Blew him off. Sir, you can't go in here. Blew him off. Finally, the cop gets on the goddamn car. At which point, Scheffler tries to ram the gate. So he's got a car on his, he's got a cop on his car. He's trying to get in the thing. He rams the gate of the country club. They finally get him out of the car. And he's asking Jeff Darlington for help. Johnny on the spot. Jeff Darlington. The cop. Oh, the response of the cop. No, he is going to jail.
Yeah.
No.
You can't help him. He's going to jail.
He's going to jail. Oh, God. Not only did Scheffler not go to jail, he was in lockup. He not only got out, but he made his tee time. I forget who it was on X, but said, that is the whitest thing I've ever heard in my life. He got out of jail, but made his tee time on time. Good for you. And then he proceeded to have a great round. He shot a 66, I believe, in that first round. Didn't win. Xander Schauffele won. But what a story that Scottie Scheffler has for last Friday. Scottie Scheffler, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Harrison Butker. It did happen at just after we posted our last alleged superstar of the week polls. So we tried to tack it on, but let's really add it to this week because it's more suited for this week. At a college commencement, he is the keynote speaker. And, oh, what a speech he made. Oh, what a speech that was. Set gender studies back and gender relations back at least 50 years. Talking about the privilege that it was for women, or a privilege, specifically his wife, to be a homemaker. That was just one of the chestnuts. Watch the whole thing. But Harrison Butker, I don't think you're going to get any more speaking engagements anytime soon. Suffice it to say, I think you're done there. Harrison Butker, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah, you know, you're kind of laying under the radar here. Yeah, the Knicks lost. Yeah, the Nuggets lost. But you were the number one seed in the Western Conference, and you went out to the Dallas Mavericks. There is no reason that you're not going to be catching any shade here. You're going to catch a lot of shade because you are the number one seed in the Western Conference, and you went out. Yes, you're young. Yes, you'll learn from this, but step into the spotlight, at least for a moment, and catch your shade. Oklahoma City Thunder, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ or drop us a line on our IG poll, Fade Route Podcast. And for our nominees.
Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.